Welcome to Hands That Heal, a compilation podcast of educational segments and interviews for Clear Passage Physical Therapy. In this episode, Larry and Belinda Warren discuss the history of the Warren Technique with Marcel Pick, co-founder of Women to Women. For more information, visit www.clearpassage.com. So today, I have some wonderful guests on the line. Larry and Belinda Warren, who I found out about, about 10 years ago. Maybe it was a little bit less than that. I don't really know. My numbers are sometimes wrong. And what I found out is I was working with a lot of patients that were having problems getting pregnant and started to begin to do some research and was introduced to Larry and Belinda's work with the notion that they had been doing some work with people that were having trouble getting pregnant. And they were able to actually work pretty effectively for some people to help block fallopian tubes, which I was just so incredibly excited about. Because generally, if people have blocked fallopian tubes, we might do surgery for intervention, and we find that many times after they've had surgery once, the tubes get blocked again. And in addition to that, they've been working with women in particular with problems with adhesions in the pelvis, which can come sometimes if you have an appendicitis that bursts, you can get adhesions in the abdomen. And if you have endometriosis or some other abdominal even infections, you can get adhesions that cause tremendous amount of pain. So I am thrilled to have them on the line. And those people that might be interested in listening to some of the information, then giving us a call, know that we are looking forward to having your phone calls and can answer your questions. And if you're calling from the United States, the phone number is 866-254-1579. And if you're calling internationally, you call dial the country code plus 760-918-4300. So hi, Larry and Belinda.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Marcel.
We're fine. How are you?
Great to hear your voice. You are always so upbeat and excited. It's so full of life.
Well, it's so exciting to have you on the air. I mean, I'm just thrilled because so many patients really believe that when they've given a diagnosis of blocked fallopian tubes that, or even, you know, having endometriosis or even having pelvic discomfort. I mean, how many women have problems with, you know, with intercourse and have pain or they have decreased desire. And so I would love for you to kind of teach our audience a little bit about how you got started, Belinda and Larry, and also some of the work that you're doing and some of the things that really make a difference, because it's really, truly, in my opinion, a truly holistic approach to being able to take care of women. So why don't you start with how it all got started and let people know a little bit more about the work that you do?
Belinda's pointing at me, so I guess I'll give it a go.
Okay, all right.
About 25 years ago, Belinda developed cancer of the cervix, and when she had surgery and then extensive radiation therapy, the doctor said, well, that fixed it. You know, you don't have cancer anymore, and you should be good to go, which was great, except for, we were just about to get married then, which was great, except for about a year, year and a half later, she started developing pain that became so debilitating that she had to leave her position as associate instructor at the University of Florida and working here as a physical therapist and was basically in full-time pain. And the physician said, well, we've done what we can do. You know, we've cured the cancer. There's nothing we can really do about the pain. It really was not an appropriate, it wasn't an acceptable response to us, I guess.
That's not very supportive, is it? Sorry, yeah. Go live your life in pain the rest of your life. Nice.
Yeah, it got really old hearing, it's all in your head or you're going to have to learn to live with it. And I was 33, mm-hmm. So that wasn't acceptable.
Oh. So we started taking, Belinda was physical therapist, summa cum laude graduate here at the University of Florida PT school, and on top of her class, and so she started taking a bunch of courses in anything that she thought might help. And when some manual therapies started helping, I started asking the professors, well, can I take these courses too? Because I'd really like to help when she comes home from these courses, and several of them were kind enough to say yes. So we started developing our own work to treat my beloved wife, and she started getting better, and she started getting better and better. And pretty soon she was back at work full-time without pain. I say pretty soon. I guess it took about a year. What did it take?
It took about a year and a half. And then I got back to the point where I was ready to go back to work full-time. And there wasn't really a physical therapy practice in town that would let us use just our hands doing soft, you know, specialized soft tissue work for an hour at a time. So we opened our first private practice in 1989, treating complex chronic pain patients.
So we're going around treating these chronic pain patients, and we would tell doctors, send us the people you have no idea what to do with, because with head, neck, back pain, pelvic pain, anybody who's been in chronic pain for a long period of time, those are our patients. Well, they were thrilled to send them to us because they didn't know what to do with them. Most of them were getting better. As a matter of fact, we grew to about, from one little clinic to five clinics over the course of about 3 years. And but we got tired of these doctors saying, gosh, you know, there's nothing that proves that what you're doing works, you know. There's just no proof of it. But here, take this patient that I don't know what to do with and fix them. Then we were surprised when a woman that we were treating, actually she was early on, she was one of your first patients, reported that she was pregnant. She was surprised to become pregnant because she had blocked fallopian tubes for 7 years. And we said, oh, my, well, that's interesting. And few physicians in town, including a chief of staff of the local hospital, a research gynecologist, got kind of fascinated and said, let's do some research on this. This was actually provided scientific background or criteria by which we could measure whether or not we were actually helping people medically. You know, you understand that for the medical profession, you need objective data.
Of course.
So we treated her. Another doctor got interested, sent his wife. She was infertile for 12 years, one tube totally blocked. The other one had been removed. Her infertility file, GYN file, was about an inch and a half thick from surgeries. 41 years old, brushing up against menopause. No way she could possibly become pregnant as far as physicians were concerned. He said, can you help? And he said, we don't know. He, you know, didn't want to tell him that she sounded like an impossible case. He sent her, and she came in one day. Remember what she said, Belinda?
She came in one day and said, well, Belinda, I don't know if I should hug you or punch you because I'm pregnant.
And I'm 42
oh,
years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they now have a beautiful 19-year-old daughter.
So what,
amazing.
So what we discovered, Marcel, is that adhesions form whenever, as you well know, whenever we heal and wherever we heal, whether it's an infection or a surgery, endometriosis, that sort of inflammation that forms, appendectomy, certainly C-section, hysterectomies, bladder.
Even laparoscopies. I mean, I think we need to let people know that if people have had laparoscopies, you do have adhesions that form. It's much less invasive than a laparotomy, which is an actual incision, a large incision. But people even have adhesions from laparoscopies as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. And also trauma in people who have had falls over their lifetime, falling off your bicycle as a kid, even, you know, if you weren't treated, car accidents. Adhesions form is just a natural part of the healing process.
Right.
A lot of tailbone.
I think it's helpful also if we explain to people what adhesions actually are. If you can imagine that if somebody has adhesions, it actually looks like the pelvis is a big cobweb. So the real fine filaments that you see in a cobweb, that's what it really looks like. So if somebody's trying to get pregnant and they have lots of adhesions, it makes it very, very difficult for the fallopian tubes and the ovary to kind of come in contact with one another. So that's why this is so powerful, that what you're doing really makes a difference.
These little crosslinks that you're talking about, they've been measured at a strength of approximately 2,000 pounds a square inch. Like a nylon rope made of 1,000 little strands, these little strands bind up inside the very delicate tissues, internal tissues of the female pelvis, and when they do, it's like little straitjackets in there, where they cause pain or decrease or stop function altogether.
So how do you think this works, Larry and Belinda? What do you think that the technique that you're doing helps? And I think we also need to let people know it's not just for adhesions. I mean, it works very effectively for people that have chronic pelvic pain or for those people that might even have, you know, a decrease, even libido can be affected by what's going on in the pelvis and the pelvic floor. And also, I venture to say that probably interstitial cystitis also is very helped by this, because sometimes it has to do with the whole flora or the whole structure of the pelvic floor.
Yeah, definitely. The work that we do with our hands, we feel for where there's free mobility versus restricted mobility of all the soft tissues throughout the abdominal and pelvic areas and the organs of the abdomen and the pelvis. And then we also feel for connections or tensions that are pulling from any scars or adhered structures in the abdomen or pelvis that may be pulling into the back, the low back, the hips, the legs, the tailbone. It's as if layer by layer, we, like peeling an onion, we gradually peel apart tissues and structures that are stuck together that shouldn't be. And when things can move more freely, they function better and pain symptoms start to diminish and go away.
Of course. And I would imagine that people that have cramps with their periods, that would be greatly decreased, as well as any kind of, what we call pelvic congestion, which is what the pelvis is just really uncomfortable much of the time.
Yep, that's right.
Would you say that's true?
I would say that's absolutely true. We started doing studies on infertility, and then people would come to us and say, I've had cramps and pelvic pain since I first started having periods, and you treated me and for infertility, and all that pain went away. And you really need to research this. And when enough people did that, we started conducting some clinical research on that. Same thing happened mm-hmm. with endometriosis. And mm-hmm. then the main side effect was when this woman called Belinda and said, anybody ever report anything a little unusual to you? And what do you mean? Well, it's a little embarrassing, but since I've come home, I'm having orgasms like I've never had before. Mm-hmm. And Belinda said, well, is that okay? And she said, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's kind of really good. We had no idea that that was even important at that point in our clinical career until the chief of staff of the hospital said, oh, my gosh, nothing that we know of in medicine improves sexual function, and we need to do some studies, and we've created some studies and addressed the American Society for Reproductive Medicine and published in some major medical journals for that work as well. So what you were saying, Marcel, about sort of a cornucopia of different diagnoses around the pelvis of congestion, tightness, pain, especially unexplained pain. Gosh, I know it's there, but my doctor just tells me he doesn't see anything, or he doesn't know what to do about it, or he keeps sending me from doctor to doctor. That's when you need to be suspecting, gee, have I had a healing process go on in here that's binding my structures down? That's what so often is.
Absolutely. You know, what's so exciting to me, though, is that right now, in the whole world of infertility and kind of pelvic disorders, there's not a lot that we offer women other than we certainly offer them very high-tech things. For example, if somebody has endometriosis, if they have very severe pain, then they're going to be, the last resort might be a laparoscopy to get rid of the endometriosis, but then they're left with scarring. And a lot of times women are not becoming pregnant because of endometriosis, so they will still perhaps do a laparoscopy to look to see what's in there, get rid of as much endometriosis as possible, and then also in addition to that, refer them for IVF. So why don't you tell the kind of the listeners out there about some of the success stories with the IVF, because I think that's also very, very exciting in terms of how it also enhances those people that do go on to IVF and their chances of getting pregnant.
Well, I remember the first time we were having some success with opening block fallopian tubes, and women started coming to us. And then this lady comes in and she says, Larry, if you can help fertility, can you help IVF? Because I'm already scheduled for an IVF. I've had two before, but they both failed. I never got pregnant on either of them. And I said, well, I don't know. We try if you like. She said, okay, let's do that. So I was treating her, and we noticed that her cervix seemed very tight, curled up, and she said, oh, yeah, can I tell you about that? And I said, yeah, please. She said, well, the doctor always worries that he has a hard time getting the catheter in there. He's worried that the egg is going to die in the room temperature before he gets it, or the fertilized egg is going to die before he gets it in to me. And I said, well, let me just, we'll treat that area some, and we did treat that area as well as other areas. And she went for her IVF, became pregnant with that IVF. It's the first time she ever had had a pregnancy with IVF, came back and said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, it was really cool. She said, the guy, he goes to put the catheter in, and I can see he's really sweating, and he goes to put it in, and it just goes right in, and he, like, stopped, and he picked up my chart and looked. I could tell he was looking at my name to see if I was the same person or not, and it was really neat, and it's the first time that I became pregnant, so via IVF. So what we find happens is that adhesions, the female reproductive tract is subject to traumas in life. It, things are going in there from the outside world, whether they're tampons or partners or so forth. It's an area that's very complex physiologically. Adhesions form on the inner wall of the uterus, creating a less hospitable surface for implantation. The uterus can get hard. You can actually get tiny little cross links, these little fibers you're talking about, between the cells of the muscle of the uterus that harden it up, make it more tense, so that it can spasm a lot. It's just not a hospitable surface for implantation, surface or structure for implantation. So we find when we free that up that the success rates with IVF, well, we published in the largest medical journal in the world, Medscape General Medicine, owned by WebMD, and the success rates were 67% for IVF versus the control, which was 41%. So after we treated them.
So it made a big difference.
First, yeah.
And what about for other things like backs or necks or things like that? Do you also find that the kind of their approach is also very helpful for that as well?
Well, definitely. I mean, that's how we started our first private practice, was treating people with headaches, neck pain, you know, upper, mid, lower back pain, hip pain. And as well as pelvic and abdominal pain. And, we've gotten rid of, been able to help get rid of headaches with people who have had chronic headaches for years. And what we find frequently is that their cervix is, well, in women, their cervix is restricted, as well as their coccyx, their tailbone. And that happens frequently from falls, you know, falling down steps, slipping and falling on ice. So we really treat the whole body with all of our patients.
And what's so wonderful is for kind of the listeners out there to hear is that they don't have to necessarily do something very, very aggressive. It's something that's very, very simple to do, but, you know, it certainly requires time on their parts. And my understanding is that when you see somebody as a new patient, what you do is you see them for basically about 20 hours. So it's 4 hours a day for 5 days. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So that would be a treatment plan for people if those people were interested in doing it. It's kind of the whole notion of looking at what's going on. Because what I'm in the heart now of doing research for a book that I'm writing on adrenals. And one of the things that can cause high cortisol levels is chronic pain as well. And chronic pain a lot of times because people have a lot of stress or they have a lot of falls and they have a lot of stress causes oftentimes musculoskeletal changes that go on in the body. So just knowing some other options for them, I think, is really important and really helpful because they know now that there are other options for them to heal.
Right. Yep. The thing is about... I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, the thing is about adhesions, they form anywhere in the body. So they kind of create a scrapbook of all the different places we've healed in our bodies. They rush into the first time you're injured or have a surgery or a fall or an infection, and once you heal from that, they remain there in your body as a permanent record of that time, of that healing event. So over the course of life, you develop these more and more. It's just part of the aging process. The body doesn't have a way to dissolve these cross-links, these attachments. So what we do is we'll work with the patients. We don't push anybody into therapy. We try to educate people so they understand for themselves, gee, does this make sense? You know, we'd like to educate people. So that patients begin to understand and begin to, if they choose to come, to be part of their own treatment plan and their own treatment team, so they can say, you know, when you're pushing here, I feel it in my low back, or I feel it in my neck. It kind of tells us where the run is going, where they've become adhered, and we start to put together the dots of the things that they've been through in life before they ever come. We never push anybody into coming here, but we'd like them to really be educated and to understand that whole process. They give us great feedback when they do come for therapy throughout the process, because they're really invited and welcomed and an important part of the team that is treating them, because we regard each woman and each man that we treat as an expert in his or her own body, giving mm-hmm. us feedback.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, over the weeks, Larry and Belinda, we've been talking about the whole notion that the body has an infinite wisdom to heal. And I think that you're just kind of bringing forth another example of that. Indeed. So if we have somebody that's interested in really feeling better as they get older, if they don't feel well, then this might be a modality to unleash some of the adhesions that are there or kind of fix them, if you will, in addition to making dietary changes and lifestyle changes and beginning to do exercise. So what I love about what you're saying is it gives people the option that they don't necessarily have to deal with chronic pain or chronic back pain or chronic neck pain or chronic anything.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, we feel that the work that we do, it's as if we free up enough physical, mechanical blocks in the body that then their innate capacity to heal can take over. And nobody needs to to live in chronic pain. And
I know, but how exciting is this? I mean, what it really it says to me then is, you know, maybe this whole notion of disability is just not something that needs to exist. And that's kind of my premise anyway, is if we get people to begin to make dietary changes to help decrease inflammation, and also some of that has to do with a mindset too, which is really helping people understand that if we change the way that they think about certain situations, they can also change their biochemistry. And then together with something like this, you know, anything's possible in terms of healing then.
Yeah, we definitely agree with you. You know, someone believes and can see in their mind's eye, see themselves as pain-free and more active, they'll get there. If they don't think that they're ever going to be pain-free or any different, it's not going to happen. I mean, they have to really plant the seeds of success in their subconscious, you know, in their
issues. Right. And then that means, you know, which I've also talked about on this show, as well as other wonderful authors on Hay House have talked about, is the notion of, you know, having sometimes to look at the concept of, is there something positive that I'm getting out of this discomfort too? Or am I really wanting to let go of it completely? Because certainly Carolyn Mace and some of the other authors would say we've got to really look deep within our soul to make sure that we really are working with ourselves to try and get better. Because sometimes there is a way in which we stay stuck, so to speak.
Yeah. Two things. One is, I cannot tell you how many patients tell us, it's kind of like going back in time for me. You know, as you're treating me, it's like that part of my body is really going back in time and getting younger as it becomes unbound from these internal straitjackets. The other thing that you just alluded to, and it is so true, it's hard once you've been in chronic pain for more than a couple of weeks, you start to develop some pretty strong feelings about it. When you've been in chronic pain for years or decades, you start to identify yourself as, I'm a person who's always in pain. Mm-hmm. As that pain starts to free up, starts to leave, and your body starts to become more mobile, it actually can be quite scary to think, well, right. Who am I? If I'm not a person in pain that I've been for the last 12 years, who am I? It's kind of scary to let go of
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well,
we're going to be taking a break in about 40 seconds. And what I'd like to do when we come back is really talk a little bit more about the notion of kind of the whole concept of healing and how we do store memories in our body. Because I think people are just starting to understand that. And I talk about it a little bit on Hay House as well. So if we can come back after a 5-minute break and talk about that, that would be wonderful.
Great.
I think it would really be enrich this conversation even more and help people look at some of the things that have gone on in their lives and know that the body has stored memory as well. So we'll take a 5-minute break and then we'll be back to talk with Larry and Belinda Wern.
This is Core Balance for Women's Health with Marcel Pick.
Well, hi, everybody. If you are interested in calling in with questions, I'll give you the phone numbers again, and that is 866-254-1579. And if you're calling internationally, you do the country code 760-918-4300. So I would love to continue talking with Larry and Belinda Warren. Belinda is a physical therapist, and Larry is a massage therapist, and they have developed a technique that I am just absolutely fascinated by, which really helps women in particular, not just women, people that have chronic pain, that might have adhesions in their bodies that come from different types of injuries. And we were just talking about the whole notion that they also have found working with women that have high FSH levels, which means their follicular stimulating hormone is elevated. And these women oftentimes are going into menopause. And for some people, that's not a problem. For if women are younger in their, you know, later 30s or early 40s, for some of them it can be devastating. And what I'd love you to share with us what you have said that is so effective that it really changes the FSH levels and people's periods become back to normal. So talk more about that.
Okay, I'll take that one then. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. You know, we were treating the opening block fallopian tubes, doing studies on that, improving IVF and natural success, natural fertility rates, and women would call us and say, you know, my doctor has diagnosed me with premature ovarian failure or high advanced reproductive age or high FSH. Can you help me? So we consulted with Richard King. He's a chief of staff of the hospital and a research gynecologist here at where the University of Florida Medical School is. And he said, gee, you know, Larry, Belinda, it's great that you can help sperm meet egg. I can see the mechanics of that. I just don't see where you can help high FSH. So we routinely turned these women down. And then this lady came in, and she had a lot of adhesions. She was really pelvic, frozen pelvis. Nothing was moving down there, a lot of pain. And we were treating her for that. We did not know at the time that she had been refused IVF the prior 3 months before she came in because of high FSH. She was actually in a menopausal level. So her FSH was 28, I think, the last time they took it, and it should be below 10. So we treated her and treated her full body, spent most of the time at her pelvis, but treated her full body. And when she went home the next month, she became pregnant naturally. And she called her reproductive endocrinologist and told him. He said, you can't be pregnant. You're menopausal. She said, I assure you I am. And he said, come in here. And he checked her out, and sure enough, she was pregnant. We went back to the chief of staff of the hospital and said, Rich, you know, what do you think about this? And he said, well, not only, Larry, should you start, and Belinda, should you start treating these women, but get them to have their FSH checked before you treat them and after.
Great idea. Yeah.
How many should we treat? He said, I don't know. Ask the biostatistician. So we asked the biostatistician, someone who you can hardly understand what the gentleman says. I mean, he's published 260-some studies in the Journal of American Medical Association and such. So he said, well, yeah, but the bottom line was you need to treat about 8 anyway. The more, the better. So we started accepting those women and keeping their numbers and really didn't get a chance to look at it until we had treated 16. Of the 16 that we treated who had high FSH, and we sent them back to get tested at their next period after we treated them, of those 16, six couldn't get tested because they became pregnant naturally after we treated them. The other 10, 9 of them, their FSH improved, in most cases, dramatically. So 15 out of 16 improved. And by this time, the woman who originally came into us who was menopausal, she's pregnant with her second child, naturally.
So. Oh, my God. Isn't that exciting?
That's what we thought.
So, you know, what all of this tells us then is that there's a lot of wonder that we don't have the answers to. And I think for all of you listeners out there, this just helps us kind of remember that the body is a mystery. and we don't have all the answers. So if somebody tells you, I hate the term premature ovarian failure, like your ovaries failed you. I mean, that's so ridiculous. And the notion's devastating for women. So I think we really need to let the world know that it isn't always what it seems. And I mean, I've experienced that in my practice working with patients as well, but they had a high FSH level and it came back to normal after many different things. But this is so incredibly exciting because it gives women some other options instead of just thinking, okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they feel oftentimes very old because of the way that our culture deals with menopause in general.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, we believe that our work is effective in turning things around hormonally for many of our patients is that we're reducing excess tensions on the pituitary gland. And the pituitary gland sits deep inside the skull, and it's the master gland and determines how much hormones get released and when they get released, and it has a very intimate interaction with the ovaries. And so by, freeing up and any excess tensions on the pituitary and also getting the ovaries as mobile as we can, women who haven't had periods in a year start having regular periods. I mean, we hear it frequently.
So, amazing.
Yeah,
so we have a caller on line one that wants to ask a question of you. So how about if we talk with Mary? Hi, Mary.
Yes, hi. Hello,
everybody. Hi, thanks for being patient. Hi.
Oh, absolutely. This has been extraordinary. So exciting, Marcel. And thank you, Marcel. Your site is wonderful. Your program is wonderful.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions, actually. In listening, I was trying to determine what is it that you call what you do, because I'm thinking, well, it could be myofascial release. It could be, because I'm a great believer in hands-on work. Is there a name for it, Larry and Belinda?
We call it the Warren Technique, for lack of something.
That's fine. Yeah, yep. The Warren Technique.
Yep.
And is there anybody on the West Coast who does it?
We have a clinic in Southern California,
we're starting to
teach therapists. We've had several thousand. We've had about 2,500 therapists applied to us for training, and we have our training program together. And we're starting to treat therapists from around the U.S. So we should. Most people come in on a Monday morning and are done by Friday afternoon. So most people fly in from out of state or out of the country anyway for treatment. But,
I will tell all the practitioners that I know. And I've actually had diabetes since childhood, and I've had lots of adhesions. I happen to know that because I had an appendectomy as an 8-year-old, and then when I was 25, I had what was described as a curtain of adhesions in my peritoneum from a laparoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I get them. And have you treated people with adhesive capsulitis in their shoulders? Because people with type 1 diabetes, one out of three or four of us get that.
We've seen a lot of adhesive capsulitis over the years.
And
shoulders free up very generally very easily.
I mean, see, I haven't had that luck. I've had it twice.
Mm. Wow. I wouldn't think we'd be looking at 20 hours for you. I'd think we'd be looking at 6 or 8 hours.
Yeah.
Just
okay,
for so that.
Mary, the part that's so fascinating to me about the work that Larry and Belinda have done is if you kind of know much about the pelvis,
yes.
It is very, very difficult, especially if somebody has blocked fallopian tubes, to unblock them. I mean, the notion that somebody has something called a hydrosalpinx, which is actually fluid collection in the tubes generally after an infection, that actually can be helped, it's unheard of in medicine. We can certainly try and take that tube out with surgery. But in terms of doing other interventions, there's very little that we know of that works that effectively. And for me, practicing gynecology in Maine, it's just so exciting to be able to offer people another option. And also understanding that the physiology of the body has really then, it responds if it's kind of given the right information to heal.
Oh, it's fabulous. I mean, I'm a nurse, and I'm tempted to come to Florida myself and learn how to do it. I mean, it's amazing. And in fact, I just want to say one other thing. Personally, I had to have my ovaries removed last summer, and I'm concerned about what's left in there, what's left over.
Well, the thing is, with each successive surgery, the surgeries themselves have created more adhesions.
Exactly. Well, I will definitely, Marcel, I'm sorry, have you mentioned the website? Because I didn't, if you did, I hadn't heard it.
No, we didn't.
I did not. You can mention the website, or, and I'll mention again at the end of the show, too. It's clearpassage.com.
Okay.
www.clearpassage.com. And there's also a book called Miracle Moms.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So it's just, it's incredibly eye-opening for people because it gives people now choices that they didn't have before. And the reality is that if you have a lot of surgery, there's no way you don't have adhesions. I don't care how much they put in terms of fluids in your abdomen to help prevent the adhesions.
True.
You know, if you're coughing or doing anything like that, women always complain that have had any kind of laparoscopic surgery that they can feel a pull.
Yeah. It's like a Roto-Rooter going through the tissues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so thank you so much, all three of you. I mean, this is extraordinary. I'm going to investigate further. Maybe you'll be seeing me there trying to learn.
Oh, that sounds great.
We'd love
to. Thanks again.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Mary. All right. We have another caller online, too. Hi, Cindy from New York.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been a massage therapist since 94, but in 2000, I hit my wounded healer, and I had heavy metal poisoning, but they couldn't figure it out for about 4 years, and they just start taking body parts out of me as everything was slowing down. So I've had massive abdominal surgery, and then they did meshing across the major incision that was from my appendix. There was nothing wrong with the appendix, so they cut me from my midline to my hip.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's meshing all the way across my whole pelvis area. And any time I've tried to get in there to work the adhesions and doing, I'm doing low back rehab right now that helps to break up the adhesions, there's a lot of infection I know that is in there. Can your technique work with this meshing to remove this? I mean, it's just there's a lot going on in there.
Linda's pointed me. So, Cindy, hi.
Hi.
We're awfully sorry to hear about all of that. We've had no problem with treating severe adhesions and significant abdominal adhesions after repeat surgeries. We do with mesh or without mesh.
Right.
Sometimes stitches will give us a place that we can't address because the stitch is actually causing a problem that physiologically we can't detach.
Right.
If you do have an infection and an active infection in there, work on the interstitial spaces of the body between structures will actually tend to spread that infection. And it sounds like that may be what's happening for you.
Mm.
So if I don't know if you take any antibiotics or if Marcel has something.
No, I'm on a ton of herbals. You know, I try to stay as
close
to natural as I can. Yeah. A lot of whole food supplements.
The thing that comes to mind for me, though, Cindy, is that you want to make sure that your GI system is pretty healthy. We had a speaker last week that was wonderful.
I'm sorry?
It is? We had a speaker last week that talked about GI, and if your GI system's not working properly, you really need to get that in order.
Exactly.
Because it gives misinformation in terms of what are we dealing with from the surgery and what are we dealing with from the GI problems. And if you've had this kind of invasive stuff done, the likelihood that you have some dysbiosis or leaky gut is certainly increased.
Absolutely.
Has to be addressed first. And there's a fabulous book that we talked about last week, and it's by Dr. Liz Lipsky called, what's the name of the book? It's called Digestive Wellness. So you might want to get a copy of that and really kind of work through what to do. And I'm also in the process of developing a whole online program on the site womentowomen.com, and that's probably going to be launched in around September. So can stay tuned for that as well.
Yeah, it's the catch-22. It's like the colonoscopies I've had, it's like your intestines are torturous, and it's like the meshing.
Right.
Is interfering with how the intestines lay. So
yeah.
It's like,
right.
I'm sure their adhesions from all your open laparotomies are probably pulling and creating tensions and pulls on your colon, your small intestine, you know, different parts of your GI system as well.
Right.
You know, which will decrease their ability to function at 100%.
For sure. So, Cindy, I would start with really working with someone, if you can't do it yourself,
looking at the whole notion of your gut.
Yes,
I've definitely worked very closely with, I mean, the people that kept me on the planet. They're amazing nutritionists.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
So the protocol that you guys were saying is that, of course, the intestinal tract has to be in working order and then start working with the adhesions?
Yeah, as long as we know you don't have an active infection, your white blood count isn't high, your physician clears you for, you don't have an active infection, you should be fine.
Okay.
Yep. We've never had a problem.
And do you have, Larry and Belinda, do you have somebody in New York that does it?
We don't have anyone right now in New York. We used to have one.
How's that possible?
I know. Well, there's just us, and we're trying to develop a training program and conduct studies. We're treating people from around the world, and we kind of get busy.
And just got through writing a book,
a 700-page book. So
where are you?
I understand.
Where are you in Florida?
We're in Gainesville, where the University of Florida is.
Yeah, North Central Florida.
I went to massage school in Sarasota.
Yes, there's a very good massage school. Yep, absolutely.
Excellent.
Large alternative community
as well.
Well,
this sounds very hopeful. I mean, I know there's many massage techniques that can, you know, work with adhesions, but you guys are having some groundbreaking stuff. This is great.
It's been nice to be able to do some science and publish some studies, having the medical school here. That we're working with. So.
Yeah, that helps to back up your work. That's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we feel very strongly that our credibility is very important.
And it's important to the world because the world needs to hear this. That's why I'm so incredibly excited to have you on the air, as well as to just kind of know of your work. It's wonderful.
Did you want us to talk about the small bowel obstructions? We were talking about that during the break.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Okay. What happened was
I've danced with the blockage of that, too. Right?
I beg your pardon?
I had a blockage in the small intestines after the last surgery.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And so these things don't get any better, generally speaking. They generally stay the same or get worse, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And the repeat surgeries tend to... Well, here's what happened to us. A couple of years ago, this rock and roll star calls us up from the West Coast, and she says, you know, do you guys... open small bowel obstructions? And we said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, you open blocked fallopian tubes. How about small bowels? I've had 7 surgeries for small bowel obstructions. Each one's getting closer and closer. My last one was 12 weeks ago, and they were scheduling me for my 8th one. Can you help me? They're killing me. It's strangling me. I'm going to die. And we said, oh, my. It makes sense to us. We haven't really specifically treated that, but if you'd like to come in, I guess it's about 2.5 years ago. So she came in holding her stomach. She could only ingest liquid. She had lost 18 pounds in the prior 6 weeks, just feeling awful. By the end of the week, we sat down, had a salmon dinner with her, baked potato, even some salad. She gained back her weight. Since then, we've been treating patients with small bowel obstructions. Small bowels, like fallopian tubes, only much larger. We can palpate them much more easily. And the problem with small bowel surgeries, small bowel obstructions, as you may know, Cindy, is that the only thing medicine has to repair that is to go in there, cut out the part that's become blocked, join the two sections together, hope you don't have a leak because of what the bowels carry, which they frequently do, and that causes an infection.
Peritonitis.
And then the likelihood of going back in again is well documented in medical studies that it just starts a cycle of adhesion, surgery, which becomes a downward spiral and literally becomes, it's a life-threatening condition. So we have a study set up. We've seen quite a few people with small bowel obstructions and are doing nicely with them.
Oh, you guys, you're just making my heart just break open. Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, so we've been able to help keep quite a few patients from having to go back in for another surgery.
Yeah.
So, Cindy, I think, you know, work with somebody to make sure that you're on, you know, glutamine or other things to really keep that gut happy and healthy, and make sure that, you know, you look at your pancreatic enzymes, make sure you look at hydrochloric acid status, probiotic status, and kind of get the gut quiet, and then maybe you can see if you can see Larry and Belinda.
Right. I'm psyched.
Good.
Yeah.
Cindy, call us sometime. I'll talk you through this stuff. I don't mean to scare you or upset you by this.
No, it's you're not scaring me. It's just, it sounds hopeful. I haven't, you know, I'm just resigning myself to have to live the rest of my life with.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to have to live with.
Now, what about the cost of this, Larry and Belinda? We have somebody who's asking the question, you know, what happens if we can't afford that?
How
do they help people in that regard?
We don't deal too much with the cost as therapists. I think the cost of the program is $5,200, generally speaking. If you're a Medicare patient, we do treat Medicare in Florida, and Medicare covers it.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. What about other insurance companies?
It depends on the insurance company, and you can find out before you ever come, and we'll help you walk through that, what your insurance company will reimburse. At our website, clearpassage.com, there's an insurance page. We give you what diagnosis codes, or you'll have your diagnosis codes. We'll give you the codes of what we will bill, how to talk to your insurer about the fact that you're going to be coming for 20 hours of treatment all in 1 week rather than on 20 different days, because that's and so we kind of walk you through that so that before you come to therapy, you know that, gee, my insurance will pay for all of it, it'll pay for some of it, it'll pay for none of it. I know there's some financing options, and we'll work for you. We're kind of here to make it happen and have success.
Oh, my God, this is fabulous. I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
You're welcome.
Good luck, Cindy.
Good luck.
Thank you, Marcel.
Let us know what happens, okay?
Thanks for calling.
I love your work, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So that's a wonderful way to kind of end the conversation, because we had some great questions, and it really just gives hope for so many different things in terms of the whole notion of healing. I think a lot of times people just put their hats up and just say, okay, this is how it's going to be the rest of my life, and it doesn't have to be so. You know, the combination of looking at emotions, looking at diet, looking at exercise, looking at changing some of the nutrients if somebody has a GI problem, getting rid of food allergens, which we talked about last week. What an amazing thing now that we have this in addition to that, that can really help all kinds of people get better. I mean, it's just so incredibly exciting.
Thank you for listening to Hands That Heal. We hope you enjoy this educational segment. To learn more about Clear Passage Physical Therapy, please visit www.clearpassage.com.